WNYC and Money Talking are supported by the Cy Sim School of Business at Yeshiva University, now offering executive MBA program information. More information at www.yuedu/sims.
Suddenly he stops and says, "Mike, I have to tell you something, and there's nobody else I think I can share it with."
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman.
He says, "I am, you know, in a lot of ways, the luckiest person that I know. I'm earning, you know, close to $1 million a year. I live in a beautiful house. I have a wonderful family and a son that adores me still. And so I just feel so fortunate and grateful. But there's a flip side to my life." And he said, "It has sometimes gotten so bad for me that I find myself hoping I could have a heart attack as sort of an honorable way out of my situation."
Mike Kibler is an executive coach, and one of his specialties is working with people who are really, truly struggling. He says his clients often don't quite have the words for what they feel, but something's not right. They're happy enough, but they've lost their energy, their drive. Kibler and his associates at his consulting firm Corporate Balance Concepts call it brownout. Think of it as that step you take before you totally burn out.
It is a graduated loss of passion, of openness, of collaborativeness. And in that state, executives are not in obvious crisis. They're flying below the radar of their firm. But it is a much larger population of people. And therefore, you know, creates a much larger risk both to the employee and to the organization.
So in an article for the Harvard Business Review, Kibler gave some advice on how companies can hold on to those really great employees whose motivation is starting to slip away. And the first step, identify when someone is losing their passion for their work.
The interesting thing about the loss of passion is that sometimes the individual doesn't see it him or herself. So, yes, there are signs. Things, for instance, if you've been doing the same job, basically the same job, for 4 to 5 years, and you haven't had really major changes in those responsibilities or in those opportunities, the wear and tear of, you know, a decade plus of suboptimal self-care. So, you know, high blood pressure, poor sleep habits, that can definitely accelerate and quickly accelerate the sense of lost interest, lost passion, and that often moves people into that brownout phase.
Why do you think that as people have been working for a while that they can begin to lose their passion for what they do?
Well, let's put it in context for a minute. We're living and working through 4 simultaneous revolutions in technology, in globalization, in workforce demographics, in terms of baby boomers retiring, you know, millennials coming through, and in terms of market consolidation. You've got these giant companies straddling the world, and working within those giant companies can be, you know, very political, very impersonal, and those things in combination can quickly lead to a sense of brownout.
So then how do you re-spark that passion? How do you refine that balance that you may have lost along the way?
Well, I think it needs to be customized for every person. Our approach to it, and this is not the only way to go about it, I'm sure, but our approach is to look at an executive as a whole person. Because, you know, fundamentally, what happens in personal and professional life bleed together. So for us, we focus on work excellence, of course. That's what we get paid for, is to create breakthroughs from a work excellence standpoint for our corporate clients. But we also focus on health and family. So work, health, family. Not that those are the only 3 things in someone's life, but any movement in one is going to influence the other 2.
But if you're the boss and you've never had this kind of conversation with an employee, or if you're the employee and you don't really want to reveal personal stuff that's going on in your life, how do you even start having this conversation?
Yeah, that's it's a difficult area to enter into. I don't personally think that we have much choice at this stage other than to enter into that realm. So, you know, just as a role play, one of the things that the way I would approach it or coach my clients to approach it if they're talking to someone on their team is to tie it to a person's annual review. So if I were your boss or working with you in some way, in some supervisory fashion, I would say, you know, Charlie, you've been fantastic this year. You've done a great job contributing to our organization. And I want you to be successful, not just professionally, but personally as well. So, you know, what I'd like to know is, from your perspective, what's the most important thing that you need to achieve in the year ahead, professionally and personally? And let's look at how that reconciles with the business needs in the year ahead and how I can support you to make that happen.
So when you asked that question of me, I was going to even say, you know, I've been a journalist for a really long time.
Yeah.
So how do I keep that passion going? And you're basically telling me, okay, think about what do I want to achieve in the next year? What are the goals that I have? How does that actually work in terms of reconnecting me to the work that I'm doing?
Well, let's just say, Charlie, that you said, you know, I'm struggling a little bit with my passion for my work.
Okay. You know, I've been doing this job for a long time. I'm struggling to be passionate about being the business editor.
Great. So let's take a look then at, you know, what was it that got you passionate about this job, this world, to begin with?
You're genuinely asking me.
Yeah, I'm continuing to ask you because that's the only way to find the answer. I can't give you the answer, obviously.
No, I mean, I love being a journalist. I love talking to people like this and having interesting conversations, learning about new things. You know, it's sort of like being in school. Every day you learn something new.
Yeah, isn't that neat? It's sort of like coaching. Coaching is very similar that way.
So if I'm still doing the work, but I'm not as jazzed about it, what do I do?
Great. Well, then I would ask you, so, you know, so maybe over the first 3 or 4 years, considering the last 5 or 10, that was just
perfect. Say more like 20.
Okay, 20. That maybe the first 10 or 15 were great, and now you're running a little bit out of steam. So, and that's very common, very natural for that to occur. And then the question becomes, well, what would enable you to take your interest and your intrigue to the next level in the way, continuing to do your work, because it's what you love, but in the way that, you know, this job at first gave you such a charge because it was new, there were new vistas for you to conquer. What's the next vista for you?
I'm laughing and smiling because I'm thinking, one, do I know? And two, do I want to disclose?
Well, sure, that's right. And, you know, that's a very real concern. There's no way you can break through, both from an integrity standpoint or from a practical standpoint, break through someone's, you know, deep concerns about privacy. I guess the only thing you can do is prove yourself through others, and that person has an opportunity to observe you at work with others and see the impact that's being made, and then say, hey, I want a little bit of that myself.
Right, right.
And that really does happen all the time.
Why is this so important? We go to work, we get paid a salary. That's sort of, you can argue that the salary that you get is the thank you from your employer.
Yep.
Why does all of this matter so much?
My CEO clients will tell me, they say, Mike, the difference between a huge public success and a multi-billion-dollar job-killing failure is the discretionary contribution and collaboration of our most influential people. Somewhere around 65 to 70% of all employees are actively disengaged.
Wow. That is just such a large number of people. If they're disengaged, how do you as an individual in a company get that many people re-engaged into work?
It really doesn't take that much to get people on track again. Focusing on a little bit more on them, frankly, and asking the right questions of them and being involved and caring about them and showing that.
Mike, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Michael Kibler is the founder and CEO of Corporate Balance Concepts. And what about you? Are you passionate about your job? If so, how do you do it? What's your secret? I'd love to know. Heck, I'm sure others would like to know too. So share your story with us. You can find me on Twitter at Charlie Herman, or you can send us an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. And if you like what you hear, we've got a lot more conversations just like this available on iTunes to download. And when you're there, give us a review. It really helps get the word out. This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman, and thanks for listening.